It's a new year and a new beginning. And so I thought we'd go all the way back to the beginning and talk about the psychology of the voice. After 28 years, there's no doubt in my mind that all of us have a psychology of the voice story. And it was meant to protect us, but it got us where we are today. And we might need to look at changing that, because it might not be serving us anymore. I think you're going to like this episode today. I hope you won't miss a minute.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I'm so glad to have you with me today, as always. Thank you so much for your shares and your downloads and for being a subscriber. And for being on this voice journey with me as we head into a new year. Today, we're going to go back to the beginning, back to the basics. Today, I'm going to talk about psychology of the voice. But very quickly, let me remind you, free live training, I believe it's the 12th or the 16th live webinar. The link is in the show notes. And I'd love for you to join me. You can just sign right up, and I'm going to be talking about the psychology of the voice even more in this live training, hour long, free. Hope you can make it. First live training of the year. It's the 16th, I believe at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And for those of you that have worked with me before, please reach out to me if you are interested in my advanced voice program. Really excited about that and the opportunity for you to work on the next level in your voice. And then if you've not worked with me and you're interested in my first round of Voices of Success, 12-week program, starts this month. You can reach out. You can go over to the website, captivatetheroom.com, and look under the Work With Me tab. Or email me if you have specific questions, Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, at captivatetheroom.com. I believe the second episode of the podcast was about psychology of the voice. And, you know, it's funny to me that it's been all these years. I mean, it feels like a lot of years, but several years since I started the podcast. And I'm so excited to have you with me. If you've been with me since the beginning, or if you started last week, I'm delighted to have you. I hope to get to work with you or see you in some of these live trainings that I'm doing. But I remember when, you know, it was years, and I kept intuitively knowing that I needed to do a podcast. And when I finally recorded it, first episode was talking about me and why I wanted to do the podcast. And then the second episode was about psychology of the voice. I honestly didn't really know if anybody would even listen. And I wasn't afraid. I wanted to do it and I wanted to put it out there. And I hope that I would serve a lot of people. And I have, you know, thousands of downloads a month. So thank you. But I wanted to start this year with psychology of the voice again. A lot has changed, even in just a few short years, as far as how I approach psychology of the voice and how much more, even more, that I believe that this is how voices need to be shifted. So just a little background. And I'll tell you before I even dive into the background, and I mentioned this in episode one of this season of this year, I really had some amazing clients this year, and they really required me to dive into the psychology of the voice and to dive in and use my intuitive abilities like never before. And what I discovered a lot, but one of the things that I discovered, there is a huge difference in simply doing voice technique, which I've always known this, but I really saw it this year. Simply just teaching somebody voice technique to, okay, here's how you sound more confident. Do it like this. Be louder. Just be louder. Versus healing the wound. I saw it, you know, I've always known it, but I saw it crystal clear this year that the people that I worked with, that it would not have served them to just give them a little piece of technique and send them on their way. And so I'm grateful for the people that are willing to do the work, because this work is, I mean, it's going to change everything. It's going to change everything for you in a really great way. You're going to have more freedom than you've ever had before when you rewrite this psychology of the voice story. I heard someone the other day, a speaker trainer, he was talking about a lilt. And I did a whole episode on lilt and how I perceive and what I hear in lilt, in many, many lilts. And a lilt isn't like an uptick, you know? And you get it in women a lot. And they're going, and you get it in men, the voice is going up and it's not even a question. And clear as glass to me, that is either asking for permission or doubting what you're saying. I hear it. I completely hear it. And I heard this person talking about lilt and how it probably came out of California, and everybody copied it. And I thought, well, that could be true. But if you just get rid of the lilt, you haven't gotten rid of the doubt. And where did that doubt come from? That doubt came from the psychology of the voice story from who knows how many years ago. If you don't get rid of the core of asking for permission, why are you asking for permission? You're supposed to be the expert. That technique is not going to stick. But when the person is able to go, whoa, I am doubting myself. And we can really look at the psychology of that choice and where it came from and rewrite it. We almost don't even have to have technique. I mean, I give my people technique, but simply by rewriting the story, everything changes. Because you've been dragging that story your whole life. And it's not true. So I'm putting the cart before the horse. Let's back up. Psychology of the voice is what my own method is. And I labeled it psychology of the voice, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. It is my brand of voice work. If you really dive into the classic voice trainers, and you know, there's popular voice trainers right now, but if you really dive into the masters, Lessac, Skinner, Rodenberg, Gratowski, they all had a method. They all had a different way. And psychology of the voice is my way. And it evolved out of years and years of experience and working with people. It evolved from my own story. It evolved from my original work at age 19 in dialects and learning about muscles and placement and why do the Irish sound Irish and why do the French sound French. And I figured out as I did so much dialect work in the early years that it was the subconscious mind saying, okay, we got this. All right, so your parents are Irish. We want you to fit in. This is all about fitting in. We want you to be safe. So this is, we are subconsciously going to teach you how to place your face to recreate that dialect so you sound like your parents. The subconscious, I believe, and I have seen this, it be this way for 28 years, creates how the voice sounds. Because as I was working with actors to teach them dialects, and as I was working with business people to remove their dialects, the easiest way to do it was to shift placement, how they were holding their face, what was in the muscles. Because they were doing certain things, and it was the muscular structure of their face that was holding that sound in place to create those sounds. And I got to thinking, what if this was true for the entire voice? Because I was already noticing, and I started working with people in my early 20s, I was already noticing the same things in front of me. Sounds were stuck, not lack of confidence, but it wasn't even about that. It was about the sounds weren't flowing out and mushed up things and no vocal variety and playing really small and lots of vocal masks. I always had the ability to look at someone, to listen to them and say, what are you trying to prove? Where's the doubt? What, you must have a lot of siblings, things like that. I didn't know that that was a gift until many years later. But I always had the ability to tell somebody exactly what their story was just by what I could hear in their voice. And I kept seeing the same story in front of me. And so I started playing around with this concept of muscle memory. And if we shifted what people were doing with their faces, with their muscles, could I free their sound? Sound was stuck in the back of the throat, or the sound was stuck in the jaw, or there was a nasal issue. Could I free it? And I could, by shifting what the muscles were doing. But there was so much more that I needed to learn about this, because what I kept seeing were similar stories. I was shut down as a child. I was silenced as a child. I was bullied in school. I don't think people listen to me. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. I'm not very interesting. Story after story after story that was very similar to mine. And I started testing things and trying things out and figuring, and I figured out very, very, very quickly that just like dialects, the subconscious mind had put in a new voice. I'm a researcher, and I think that I was a researcher from very early on, and I know why I was a researcher, because it was real clear to me in my early 20s that I was to be a voice coach. And I couldn't wrap my mind around it because I was raised in a family where I wasn't allowed to speak. And I kept saying, God, you're kidding, right? Because I couldn't, how could I be a voice coach? What a fraud. I was not allowed to use my voice. I struggled, honestly, my whole life to pull away the layers of my own voice story. Certainly up until my mid-30s, I was still rewriting layers of my own voice story. But what happened was, is I looked at my own story and I looked at these people's stories and I looked at all this work that I had done shifting dialects with through muscle memory and placement. And when I say placement, I mean by how you're holding your jaw or your mouth or where you're placing your sound. And the symptoms were matching up time and time and time and time again with the stories. The stories were, I wasn't allowed to speak. The stories were, I was told to shut up. The stories were all the same, and so were the problems. The problems were the sound was stuck in the back of the throat. The sound was stuck in the jaw. The sound was stuck up in the nose. All these things I've mentioned, no vocal variety. The problem was I don't even say what I need to say. The problem is I can't set boundaries. The problems were the same. And it became really clear that it was the subconscious mind that was protecting the heart. As soon as I figured out the voice was the orchestra of the heart and the message was in the heart, it became crystal clear what was happening. The subconscious mind was reprogramming what was in the muscle memory and was literally shutting the voice down, because if the voice came out, the heart was in danger. And the subconscious mind was hell-bent on protecting the heart and keeping you safe. Part of my research led me to talk to people. Again, you know, I heard someone say, oh yeah, well, you know, I mean, clearly a lot of people are born without knowing how to use their voice. They don't know how. And that struck me wrong, because I believe that we were all born with an amazing voice, with an interesting voice, with our own voice, with able to reveal who we really are. And so as soon as I heard that, I was like, I don't believe that. I believe that the subconscious mind shut the voice down. And so I did a big research project on it. And I talked to people that were shy. I talked to people that were introverted. I talked to people that were extroverted. And the core question was, were you this way from the start? For the introverts, the shy people, the people that didn't use their voice, or did something happen? Were you this way around some people and not this way around others? And just about every single answer came back, no. I was gregarious and used my voice and was not shy at all around certain people, but other people I didn't feel safe around. So it validated for me that everybody was born with a voice where they could say what they want and they could be interesting and they could reveal their feelings. And it validated this 28-year body of research, this 28-year body of work that said, yeah, somebody shut you down. Somebody said, stop talking. Nobody wants to hear it. Shut up. You are wrong. Don't say anything again. And that went into the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind told your heart, don't worry, I've got this. And little by little, you went from revealing who you really are, expressing yourself fully, using all your vocal variety, you went to this. If you even used your voice at all, you would keep it very, very small. Or maybe you would put up some vocal masks that, you know, okay, let me just be what everybody wants me to be. Or let me ask permission. Or let me prove something. All of this stuff to protect your heart. And the subconscious mind did it, crafted and created and shifted and moved your voice around to shut it down, to build these masks, to protect you. And that is what I called the psychology of the voice. Because it was clear to me that the subconscious mind, the psychology, was a huge part of what you ended up with. You come to me, people come to me and they say, can you make me sound more confident? Can you make me more captivating? I don't really know how to use my voice. I'm afraid to use my voice. Like I said, everybody kept showing up with the same stuff. And there was always a backstory to it. And what I discovered is that I didn't even have to have people tell me the backstory. I could hear it. I could hear it. I could listen to them and say, what is it you're trying to prove? What's the deal with you and your dad? Your mom let you down, didn't she? And I thought everybody could hear what I could hear. But that's the psychology piece. That's the story. And it manifested in the voice and the voice masks. And what I found was it was all linked into the muscle memory. And so theory didn't work, because people kept coming and going, I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that. And I feel like I'm interesting, but I'm not. It's theory. And what I discovered from being in a car crash led me straight to the discovery that whatever the top layer of the voice of the muscle, that's what the voice is going to be. And this subconscious reprogramming of the voice started when you were very, very young, probably before you were five. But the thing is that it extended over the course of your life, because it wasn't just, now the damage was done from the first line, the first sentence of, hey, stop talking. Nobody wants to hear it. The damage was done. But then imagine a lifetime of bullying and kids at school and relationships and teachers and principals and bosses and coworkers and everywhere you turn, shutting you up and shutting your voice down repeatedly, that subconscious going, don't worry, I got this. I got it. I got it. To the point where you're sitting in front of me going, can you make me sound more confident? Can you make me more captivating? Because your voice is so shut down and you got so many vocal masks, I don't even know who you are. So that subconscious, that psychology, that story, put all this stuff in place that makes it harder for us to connect with you, that makes it harder for us to feel something and want to buy from you. And that's what happens. It's not that you can't be successful. At some point, you cannot get to the next level because people are hearing things in your voice and you are repelling them. They're not fully trusting you. They're not wanting to buy from you. And it drives me kind of crazy when I see business people, they get a new copywriter or they get a new Facebook marketing guy or they get this or they get that or they do this or they do that. And to me, it's just as simple as can be. You're resisting letting me know who you are. You're resisting revealing who you are. I can't connect with you because what you are doing vocally is pushing me away. And I can feel it in my body and I can hear it in your voice. And they can too. Because that was another layer of the research was, oh my gosh, the people are processing every single sound in their subconscious mind. And they may not know why they don't want to buy from you, but they know they don't want to buy from you. So I can analyze it and tell you what it is and fix it. They can't. So don't be paranoid. But they feel it and they hear it and they're not going to buy. They're not going to connect. It's just not going to work. And so when I discovered that I, you know, was really hearing these things and we could shift these things out through muscle memory and put in a new sound, that what we were really doing was taking people back to one. Taking people back to one before the world got in the way and said, nobody wants to hear it. And you shut it down and you made it something that it wasn't. That you became on because, I don't know, that's what, you know, everybody else is doing. Or you put on some power voice because that's what people are doing. Or you're really super nice and trying to be what you think they want you to be, or you're asking their permission, you know, a lot, or all of it is driven by the subconscious, the psychology of the voice story of needing to prove, a victim of pleasing, of passive aggressive, of not being able to use your words, of being a perfectionist, of being an analytical. Yeah, you're smart and you're analytical, but something triggered along the way that made you go, oh my gosh, I got to get these words just right. I have to be up here in my mind and I have to think about this and I have to get it right. And my research in that muscle memory work taught me that when you're up there getting it right, you are disconnected from your body and your voice. Because remember, the message is in your heart. The voice is the orchestra of the heart. And so I kept seeing people frustrated because, like I said, they're trying to do it and they're trying to be interesting and it's not working. And it's because you're trying a technique. Somebody said, hey, you need to go faster, or hey, you need to go slower, or somebody said, you need to practice articulating. And now all of a sudden, you just sound so fake, we can't even listen to you. It was never articulation. It was flow. Your sound was stuck because your psychology of the voice said, I'm going to hold this sound right here. And it'll come out because it has to, but it's not going to come out a lot because I'm here to protect you. First thing I do with people is I get their sound unstuck. And oftentimes that's when the story comes out. Oh my gosh, I remember when I was silenced. Oh man, let me tell you this. Let me share this with you. I want to tell you a story. And we don't have to know the psychological piece of it. It always comes out. And for a lot of my people, it's really important that we look at that. And when we do, it makes so much sense that it makes the work so much easier, I think. I mean, this work isn't for the faint of heart. This isn't like going to a regular voice coach and you learn a little bit of technique like, hey, be louder, or hey, warm up your voice. You know, that's my thing with warm-ups. People ask me all the time, oh, I need to be warming up and I need to be practicing and I need to be doing this. And I'm like, yeah, but first you need to get back to your real voice or you're just warming up the voice that isn't going to work for you. A very unorthodox approach, but I want to tell you, 28 years, it's never failed me. It has to be rewritten. The story has to be rewritten because your voice is so linked to your worth that no amount of blowing your lips is going to change that story. And when you change that story, all of a sudden you have the freedom. And what we find is, yeah, sometimes we really have to roll in some technique to get you going with the vocal variety. But what I find is when people realize what the story was and how it's in the muscle memory, so much shifts on its own. So much is rewritten on its own when the person realizes, oh, I'm doing this. And I can just totally let people know how I feel. And I'm so much more comfortable saying what I need to say and revealing who I am as I say it. That's why one of the first things that I do with people is I get their sound unstuck. Because no matter how hard you push and how much volume you use and how hard you work, if your sound is stuck, you're not going to captivate us. Sometimes people with on voices, you know, have you ever heard those presenters and they're like this? Yeah, or even like a podcaster, they're literally bypassing their whole voice with an alternate voice. Their sound is so far stuck down and so disconnected that they have to come up with a whole new voice. And this is easy because I'm a character now. But if you really want to do the work, if you really want to find some freedom, if you really want to captivate the room and control the conversation, you go after that story. Because I'll guarantee you, you've got one. Everybody does. And they just don't even realize it. Even people that you know, I get a lot of people that they really sound good. They really sound pretty good. And then we dive in and we make it even better because everybody's got a psychology of the voice story because everybody's been silenced. Some people way worse than others. A lot of my people have stories similar to mine. You know, it took a long time for me to find my voice and use my voice, even when I was teaching it. Even in the early years of teaching dialects, it was all dialect work that I did, probably because I didn't believe in my ability to do what I do now. I don't know. Maybe it was just part of the process. Maybe I just needed to learn that dialect work and that muscle memory work in order to get to psychology of the voice. But I believe this to be the way it is. And other people believe it to be different. There's nobody else that teaches voice like this. Nobody. And it doesn't matter to me at the end of the day how you find your voice, because I know my people are going to come to me. I know the people that really want to rewrite that story and feel that freedom and bring their words to life and create connections beyond their wildest dream and have such an ease about using their voice in all scenarios, whether it's conflict or leadership or podcasting or video, or I know they're going to find me. And I know they're going to do the work. And I know they're going to feel the freedom. But that is what psychology of the voice is. And I can't even begin to tell you how many messages I get about how this resonates with people. And I love hearing from you. I really do. And I like I say, 28 years, I've seen this to be true time and time and time and time and time again. It's not about the vocal variety. It's not about any of that. It's not about articulation. It's about rewriting a story and opening up a channel that allows you to express yourself fully because you were born with a voice that makes people listen. I'm just simply a tour guide that helps you get back there. But that's what psychology of the voice is. I don't know. Does this resonate with you? Can you relate to this? Is this your story? Is your voice shut down? Do you not reveal who you are? Are you what I call tentacles out, reading the room before you really say what you need to say? And even then, it's all guarded where it's behind bulletproof glass and people can't touch you? I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your stories about your psychology of the voice. And I'd love to help you rewrite that story sometime this year. But that's it for today. Thank you for joining me. This is a really special episode for me because this work is really special to me and the freedom that it brings. And it's been such a journey. It's been such an incredible journey to create this work. And that's why I'm putting it all in a book. That book will be out pretty soon. You know, I'll tell you about it. But I'm going to leave it with that. I'm going to leave you with that. Let you chew on this a little bit. And that's it for today. So until I see you next time, you know what to do. Get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at captivatetheroom.com and be sure to grab The Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.